Before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Amen. The Lord bless his word this afternoon to our heart. Let us please be seated. This evening, by the grace of God, we want to continue from where we stopped on Wednesday. Just a little background. And, we are speaking on that to be a Christian, because the prophet said that you are not saved because you go to church, or because you carry crucifix, or because you know the Bible and just have head knowledge, but he says you are complete in Christ. Amen. That is what I want us to do. We are complete. Say you are complete in Christ. And that the only way for you to know Christ is to have a personal experience with him. To know him, the person of Christ, in the form of the Holy Spirit. And then he made us to know that. There's only one way to know him. That is to be born again of the Spirit of God. Amen. Then we stop there just a little something on Wednesday. So what will continue? By the grace of God, God made us to know. The title of our sermon is An Exodus. An Exodus. That's 56 June 15. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Paragraph 10. As I was speaking on the other evening, say last evening, on Abraham the Great Patriarch. Said that tonight we are going over into the Exodus, just a short time. He said, in that sermon, said we left Abraham upon the mount where he had taken Isaac to offer him according to what the Lord told him. But instead of that, for 3 days after God revealed to him that he was to take Isaac and offer him your only son whom you love, go and offer him as a sacrifice. Remember that too, God promised Abraham that through Isaac all the nations of the earth will be blessed. But now God told him to take Isaac to go and offer him up. But he believed one thing that, you know, as he received him as one from the dead, that God Almighty was able to raise him up again. Hallelujah. Because the word of the Lord can never fail. So, when they got to the place now, he saw the mountain afar off. And then he told his servant, you stay here with me. I and the lad, we are going up yonder to the mountain to wash, and then we will come back. Then the answer, the question is, how is he going to come back with the child when he was going to offer him? The thing is, he knew that God will raise him up at that very place. So they went, and their way going, Isaac became suspicious because he was the one carrying the wool which he was to be born. Like our Lord Jesus carried the cross upon which he was crucified. When they were going now, my father said, here am I, my son. I'm carrying the wood. You have the knife in your hand. You have the fire in your hand. But where is the lamb for sacrifice? Then the answer of Father Abraham was that God himself will provide himself a lamb for sacrifice. Amen. And when they got to the place, our prophet told us that he was gathering stone here. Remember, it is far away from civilization, about 100 miles away, where there are jackals. I mean, terrible animals. So when he gathered the stones and laid the altar, he bound his son Isaac. And before he laid it, he made him to know this, that for 25 years, we waited for you, for the promise that God gave to us, that we are going to have you. And that this is the promise, that through you, God is going to bless all the nations of the earth. Now, 3 days ago, the same God told me I should bring you here and sacrifice you unto him. Now, how is he going to, how God is going to make you to be a blessing to all the nations of the earth? I don't know. Isaac surrendered himself. Praise the Lord. And when he bound him and placed him on the altar, and he took the knife to put it on his neck, Jehovah God heard his hand. And the voice of the angel said, Abraham, Abraham, do that lad no harm. By the time God spoke, finished, he had him beaten, or bleached rather, of an animal, bar behind him. The question is, where did that ram come from? Is it Jehovah Jireh? Where did he come from? And he loosed Isaac and took that ram and killed it instead of Isaac his son. And that's why it's called that place Jehovah Jireh. May God help us. And what they made us to know here, that earlier on in chapter 15 of Genesis, God promised that his son was going to sojourn in a strange land. And the nation that they will sojourn will treat them for 400 years. The woman said, God gets power of years. 400 years. And when the 400 years come to an end, I will visit that nation that maltreated them, and I will punish that nation, and I will bring them out with a strong arm. Amen. And here, Isaac begot Jacob. Is that right? And then Jacob begot Joseph and his 12 brethren, his 11 brethren. And what they said, and Joseph was betrayed of his brethren, perfect, beautiful type of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Perfect, beautiful type of our Lord Jesus. He said, remember, the father loved Joseph, but his brethren hated him. Why? Because he was a spiritual man. He was prophet. And he could see visions. He could tell or foretell what was going to happen. Praise the Lord. What they say? It's better because they were just fundamental people, but they just couldn't see the supernatural side. And they hated him without a cause. Perfect type of Christ. When he came, he was hated. They hated him. The Jews hated Jesus because he was spiritual and had a spiritual understanding and could foretell or tell forth or know the secrets of the heart and could tell them what happened to them, what their trouble was. And the Jews hated Jesus for that cause, but he was of God. Hallelujah. And we find that Joseph, our brother said here, according to the scripture, was thrown into a ditch and supposedly to have been killed, and was taken off from the ditch and went into the dungeon in Egypt, and from thence to Pharaoh's right hand. We know that he passed through. His dream was that they were in the field and they caught sheep. And while they were binding there, his son stood erect. And the enemy were bowing down before him. And he told them, You mean we are going to bow down before you? He told his father. His father said, what? Then he dreamed again. He found that the moon, the stars, and the sun, they bowed down before him. He told his brethren, they hated him, yet the more. And he told his father, his father, being a prophet now, kept this thing in his heart. But told him that, do you mean that I, your father, as the son now, and your mother as the moon, and your brother as the star, are going to bow before you? Whether they like it or not, they must bow. Because God has already spoken. Now they sold him out.
Now, before they, Reuben said that, supposedly that no, they have killed him. He found himself in Egypt. And he was in Potiphar's house. And you know what the wife did to him. And he lied against him. But whatever it is, God was in it all. And he found himself in the prison here. Another place, Abraham said, remember that there were the two servants of Pharaoh. One, the chief butler, and then the chief baker. They had a dream. One was saved, the other one was lost. Said, remember Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. One was saved, the other one was lost. Amen. So, finally, Joseph found himself on the right hand of Pharaoh. Now, the thing is this. The Bible made us know that he could even bound the servants of Pharaoh according to his own will. That is the will of Joseph. Whatever he wants to do to anybody, he can do to them. And the Bible made us to know, each time Joseph was going out, there's a proclamation. Bow the knee. Joseph is coming. Praise the Lord. And the Bible said, according to the scripture, one day, the Bible says that all knee, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is the Lord. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Okay. And then, the Bible made us to know, he said, friend, are you with us? Friend, he said, you are going to pray sometime. You are going to confess Jesus sometime. Either your Savior now and a meeting in peace, or as your judge at that day to meet him when that wrath of God will be your destruction. May God help us. And then we find Jacob coming to Egypt to sojourn. God was just walking. Remember that Joseph had become the governor, the second in command in Egypt. And his brother visited about two or three times, or four. They bow before him. The first time, the second, they bow. The third time, they bow. Finally, Jacob came to sojourn in Egypt. Praise the Lord. And finally, Jacob died in Egypt and was brought back to Palestine and buried. Joseph died. And when he died, a sign to all Israel that he said, don't bury me, don't bury my bones down here. But I said, I like that. He said, did you ever notice last night when we had a little in between the line? Here is just a little between the line. Now what is the prophet is telling us here like was that? When God visited Abraham and Sarah, the Bible made us to know that they were well stricken in age. And when he visited them now, he changed their body. What is it? It was not written in the Bible. He said, but you have to read, in between the lines. Are we getting what you are saying? He said, that is the example, the same thing here. He said, you have to read in between the lines. He said, because those patriarchs, he said, they were prophets. And they knew that Joe has already spoken by prophecy that I know that my Redeemer liveth. Job passed through trouble, trials, testing. He lost his children in one day. All of his properties, every of his substance were finished within one day. Yet he maintained his integrity. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then his friends came around to accuse him of being a secret sinner. For 3 good days, they sat down with him. They were looking at him with pity. But by the time they opened their mouth now, instead of them to first of all confess their sin, they started accusing Job falsely. May God help us. And then, by and by,
As time goes on, listen to the prophet here. Prophet said, he preached on Job in his tabernacle for a year or something. And when I got over to Job over to the ash heap, I had him there about 6 weeks. A lady didn't want to come up to my face and tell me. She wrote me a letter and said, Brother Abraham, when are you going to get Job or the ash heap? Oh man, what all that tied into that? You understand what Bob said? This lady, he didn't want to hurt me. He only wrote me a letter. What are you going to take Job out of the ash heap? This great patriarch standing there, and he was trying to find somewhere to go to the house of God. That's Job now. And knock at the, no, at the, on the door, and have a little interview with God. And Elihu came down and tried to tell him that he was wrong. But the Bible said, faith will make you to agree that you are wrong or that you are right. I said, God said so. Faith will make you to admit that according to the word of God, you are right. Are you there? And Elihu came and told him that he was wrong. And how that there was coming a just one who will put his hands on a sinful man and a holy God and bridge the way. Talking about Jesus. And when the Spirit came on Job, in his hour of trying, tribulation, testing, oh my. In that time, he raised up. And he said, I know my Redeemer liveth, and that at the last day he will stand on the earth. And though the skin once destroy this body, yet my flesh shall I see God. The thunders roared, and the lightnings flashed. But Abraham said, he said, every other one, they see Jesus, I mean, they see God in vision and things like that. He said, but Job saw the resurrection. Praise the Lord. That is the main thing. Notice. When he said, in the last day, I know my Redeemer liveth, continuation. And at the last day, he will stand upon the earth. Though the skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Whom I shall see for myself, my eyes shall behold, and not another. Hallelujah. Now, they all knew that Job, being a prophet, that if Job was going to see the Redeemer stand on the earth in the last days, the patriarch, through revelation, knew that they would see him too. Hallelujah. What a blessed assurance. What a blessed hope for the believer. Praise be to God. They knew because they were prophets. Now listen. So Job, many hours, okay? 15 now, paragraph 15 there. Along came Abraham, and when Sarah died, Abraham specified a place and bought a parcel of ground. Did you ever check where it was at? Same place Job was buried. Then when Abraham died, he was buried with Sarah. Abraham begot Isaac. When Isaac died, he was buried with Abraham. Isaac begot Jacob. And Jacob died way down in Egypt. But before he died, knowing his spiritual son Joseph, being a prophet, said, Joseph, come here and put your hand on the hip where the angel of the Lord touched me as a great man, strong. He was strong as a supplanter. He was strong as a chief. But the thing is this, when he met the angel of the other side, he became a living prince. His name was changed from Jacob, a supplanter, to Israel, a prince with God. Hallelujah. Then he put his hand on there, and he said, swear by the God of heaven that you will not bury my bones down here in Egypt. Why? What difference would it make where you are buried? Say, swear by the God of our fathers, Abraham and Isaac, that you will not bury me, my bones down here, but take me back to the homeland. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why? Joseph, when he died, I mean, Jacob, when he was taken back, buried with Abraham. Joseph, when he died, he said, don't bury my bones down here. He said, take my bones when you are going out and bury them in the promised land. In chapter 15, India, he said, God is going to visit you.
But don't leave my boats here. But carry them along with you when you are going to the promised land. God is going to visit you. And that is what God promised Father Abraham. He said, the Lord, God said, I will visit them and bring them out with a strong arm. And when Joseph was going away, when Joseph was passing away, he told his brother, he said, don't leave my bones here. He said, because God is going to visit you. Carry my bones to the promised land. We are speaking on an exodus. May God help you. They knew that at the resurrection, the first fruit resurrection, that Jesus was coming. And when he comes, and they did for him what he said. And on Easter morning, when he arose up, Matthew 27. Now listen. When Jesus gave up the ghost in Matthew chapter 27, the Bible said, when the veil of the temple was rent from bottom to two. The Bible made us to know that the bodies of the saints that were there rose up from the grave. Their graves opened. Are you following me? But could not come out until after the resurrection. That's what the Bible is meaning here. Amen. Glory to God. And then when Jesus rose from the dead, amen, he went to paradise and brought out those saints. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Noah, Job, and the rest of them. Hallelujah. The woman said, you can only read in between it is because he was the major prophet of the hour. How could he be this thing to theologians? He could only reveal it to his prophet. The one that, you know, he has given the mind of Christ to be given to the bride. Praise be to God. They came out of the grave. And they came out of the grave at the resurrection. And they entered into with him into glory. What was it? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you find that in a Psalm 24. Praise the Lord. When he rose from the dead, when we say he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. And when he was going back to glory, when he was going back to heaven, he took his saints along with him. And when they were going now, when they got to the gate of heaven, he said, lift ye up, ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Then the voice of the angel said, who is the King of glory? They said, the Lord, mighty in battle, lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, and let the King of glory come in. And what we say, the prophet said, and the gates of heaven flung open. And Jesus entered in with those saints. May God help the church. And he has to present them to the Father. That is the scripture fulfilled in there. Praise the Lord. They were spiritual. And had a discernment that they knew the resurrection was not going to take place in Egypt. It was going to take place in the promised land. And brethren, tonight, I know from leaving the Baptist church and so forth, I got a lot of criticisms and so forth, but I saw the spiritual meaning of the coming of the Lord. For those that are in Christ, will God be with him at the resurrection? Hallelujah. You have come from different denominations. There are people that are born Roman Catholic. They are here. Apostolic faith, the apostolic, CSC, Caribbean and Seraphim, all kinds of anything you want to talk of denominations, which is human organizations. Oh my. The woman said, when I came out of the baptism, said, I had a lot of criticisms. He said, but the thing is this, I've seen the revelation of it, that all that died in Christ, will God be with him at the resurrection. That is what God has done for us today. Amen. Because God promised to bring out a church among the Gentiles for his name's sake. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You can have all your fantasies you want to, and all your big denomination, but bury me in Christ. You see the importance to be born again now, to have the Spirit of God, because without the Spirit of God, without you having the Spirit of God in your soul, no resurrection for you. Without you having the Spirit of God in your soul, there is no rapture for you. So if you are here this afternoon and you are still adamant, you don't want to surrender yourself to Christ, I don't know, but one thing is this: as long as there is breath in your nose, there is still hope for you. But you don't know when God will take you away. So if you refuse to repent of your sin, and genuinely, as you always repeat it, and be baptized in water, the pool is there. Oh, when you are ready, the pool is there at the back of the church. May God help us. Why should you be afraid of water? The people that have been baptized in water, the water killed them, it is because you lack revelation. You follow me? It is because you lack revelation. But if you truly believe the word of God for the day, you not just sit down there and come to become a church member. It's as simple as ABC. Oh my. You will want to be, you know, want to be part of what God is doing. Because by one Holy Spirit, we all are baptized into one body, which is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the body of the Lord Jesus Christ are Christians. Not just Christians. Christians by mouth. Believers. Believers of the message of the hour. Because without the message of the hour, oh goodness, no man can go into rapture. Am I wrong? Because we are quiet. May God help us. Because this is the only message on earth today to prepare every man upon the face of the earth to meet Christ in the air. Remember that the woman warned. Well, you may be among the great tribulation, say, I don't know. But the woman said that you have no second chance. Because while you have already had the truth, I hope that is not why. You have already had the truth. God help us. We are speaking on an exodus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, yes. Now, this is. Yeah. He's bringing out a people. God is calling out a people for his name's sake out of the Gentile. The days of the Jew is soon at hand. The Gentile days is, you know, the Gentile days is going to be over there. When the gospel turns to the Jew, the Gentile dispensation is finished. Oh, I just know that it is bound to be soon. And every sign pointing to it. Now the Exodus calling out. So God, when he got ready to do this, there was nothing in the world that man can do or put a hand on. God did it himself. So no matter how much we try to say, this organization will do it. This organization will do it. God will do it. That is the only one that can do it. It will be the sovereign grace of God that will come down and unite the churches together and the called out and we will have an exodus, a going out. Amen. He said, watch how God did it. Very strange. Say there was a righteous man and a righteous woman. That is Amram and Jochebed. He said, they brought forth a little boy and they named him Joseph. I mean, Moses. And when he became the age of 40 years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Don't forget that the same window through which Pharaoh looked at the children of Israel and saw them as mud jobbers, as slaves, people that are in bondage, that never have any redemption. It was through the same window Moses looked at the same people and saw them as people of God. Because the mother called him in the training that the mother was giving to him, look at those people there. See the way they are being maltreated. See the way they are mashing the mud like that. See the way they are being beaten. Look, you are not part of these people here. You are not part of this palace here. You are among those people. You are part of those people. You are born as a deliverer. One day, that is what God, that you are going to be the one to deliver those people. This thing was read this way in the heart of Moses. So when he got to the age of accountability, which is 40 years now, he went out. All those training was in his head. He became a military man. He thought he could do it. Oh, goodness me. Merciful God. He thought he could do it on his own. And one day when he went out to see his brethren, he found that one Egyptian was maltreating a Jew. He took that man, he killed him. He ran away. Now he was in the desert. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He was in the desert. And he was just taking care of his father-in-law's sheep where he got married. He got married to Deborah. The woman said, he failed miserably. Hallelujah. 19, please. 19b, paragraph 19b. Notice he failed. When he was at the battle of the desert, he was there for another 40 years. And God had him there at the backside of the desert. Where he married. Are you there now? Yes. God bless you. Listen, church. Where he married this Ethiopian woman, Zipporah. And she was high-tempered. Moses was high-tempered too. So I guess there was some little trouble on the backside of the desert once in a while. A family, a husband without the Holy Ghost, a wife without the Holy Ghost, there must be trouble. There must be quarreling. There must be fighting. There must be disagreement. There must be fuse. Are you hearing the prophet? All right. Listen to the prophet. Don't turn your wife down because she has got a little temper. Amen. Are you guilty? Brothers, are you guilty? Let me repeat. Don't turn your wife down because she has got a little temper. Maybe that is your cross. It's your child. Have to bear it. Listen. God might have given it to kind of keep you lined up. Same thing with you, women, to your husband. If your husband has a little temper, bear with him. The woman said, don't turn your husband down. Can I hear amen? Amen from you. Look, let it grind in. I'm not scared here. Whether you say amen, you don't say amen. The word of God is the word of God. I believe in you are sons and daughters of the prophet. Be gotten by the Holy Ghost, by the message of Yahweh. I believe you should be able to say amen to every psalm. Amen to if it is the right thing. Listen. Brother Bam said, I told you. I said, Brother Bam said that, you know. Faith, we make you to say you are wrong according to the word of God, or you are right. So if you are having fuses and troubles and fighting and quarreling and a change of words with your wife, then you are wrong. The same thing, then you are wrong. Then you cannot be able to say anything. But if faith is in you, you'll be able to agree this is the word of God. But the Bible says, faith admits that the word of God is true. So you are wrong, I'm wrong, but the word of God is true. And you are quiet. It's good for you to be quiet. So maybe it's your cross. Maybe God will want you, you know, a little to keep you a little line on. Same thing to you, you know, with you, women, to your husband. Stick together. Do what? I want to hear the whole assembly. Who says so? This is God's divine admonition. This is the mind of God to you and me this afternoon. Stay together. Husband and wife, stay together. You hear the statement that the associate pastor made this morning. Don't let the devil be wiser. Sorry. Adisa. Don't let the devil be better than us. It's a strong statement. Stay together. Amen. It is divine counsel and admonition. Stay together. Listen to the prophet. Promise God you will promise God. Listen, he said, you promise God in your year, the day you are to be joined. You promise God you would. So stay with it. Then if you didn't stay with it, you have made a wrong vow. You have lied before the completion of the sense of God. You have lied. He said you promised you would. For better, for worse. Is that not? Let us go back to our... No, go back. And renew your vow to one another. Amen, sir. Amen, ma. Go back now. You are only looking at me. You just let us follow the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Notice, I'm a person that doesn't believe in marriage and divorce. You know that. Look, my brother, if you went at it, you went at that more prayerfully, there will be less of it. If you went at it, pray carefully before you get married. We have less of this fuming. Alright, that is me. Come, go on to Bani. Bale, here, you are better. What God has meant to do, you can't put us under. Not even the devil. Don't let the devil be wiser than us. You follow me? May God mess up on our one soul. May God mess up on our one soul. What today? What today? This is the word of God, you know. Church, may God help us. Let me sit here to ourselves. You see this small power that here. It will either stand against you or for you. Let's repent of a simple way. May God help us. That's the name of the Lord. I think I was singing this song about Katari few weeks ago. Jesus in a family. I asked Baba that we did his birthday yesterday. I said, do you still remember? I saw from Oshosami. Jesus in a family. Happy, happy home. But Satan in a family. So which one you did? That is why the prophet warned and admonished. Don't enter into you without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That statement you made that day, brother, that we are going to adopt you. Look, what if I want to come to our pastor? What if I want to come? It is unlike in those days. Before a brother will meet a sister, they have to come to the pastor first. Even if a brother comes to a girl, a sister behind, I'll be the Lord, brother, I pray, show to the pastor. Could be a Maloney. That's why the problem is today. The rapture is at hand, though. The coming of God is so near. Church, may God help you. Church, may God help you. Amen. So Moses, one day, at the back side of the desert, he saw the bush burning. It attracted him. And he stepped aside to see why the bush burning and could not be consumed. And that made us know that when God saw that Moses turned to see why the bush was burning and could not be consumed, therefore, God spoke to him. I remember my promise. Amen. First of all, Moses, loose your shoes from your feet, for the ground you are standing is a holy ground. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I've had the brought of my people in Egypt, and I've come down to deliver them, and I'm sending you. Glory to God. With that experience, hallelujah, he gave courage and faith to Moses, and he left. Moses, where are you going? I am going to Egypt to take over. A one-man invasion. Praise the Lord. Moses, remember, let me see. There with me. All right. Praise the Lord. He got home. He took Zipporah. Put her on a mule. And put one of his sons here. One of his sons here. And he was going. Hallelujah. With that stick in his hand. And when he was going, where are you going? I'm going to Egypt to take over. He said, remember, I want to read something from you. Bear with me a little. Oh, this time. So remember that Moses, I mean, that over there in Egypt, sorry please, I'm sorry. Oh my. Brother Bam said that when he was going, somebody might have said that. Remember that in Egypt, Pharaoh had armies, had chariots, had the horses that were specially prepared. But one thing is this, Moses had met God with that experience, he had faith. And when he got to Egypt, he performed the miracle. When after performing the miracle, the stick of Moses was dropped down. Became a snake. That of the magicians of Egypt, no, became snake too. And he saw snake, God this one, God this one. So all the powers of Egypt was in the hand of Moses. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Moses, what, that is exactly how it is today. He said, what the seminarians cannot do. When we give people today with their theological experiences, what they cannot do today, it is the power of the living God is what we need. The power of the Holy Ghost is what we need in church today to be able to do the work of God. Praise the Lord. But I must say, but before you can come to God, you must humble yourself. You must make sure you remove your shoes. You remove all your theology from you. All of your theological experiences that you have. You must make sure that you forfeit everything about it and then come to God. Say, so don't come criticizing. Come believing. Just surrender yourself. Praise the Lord. Oh, glory be to God. All right. Just bear with me a little. I want to finish the sermon right now. He said, just like a saw at the war front, when Goliath, the Philistines, came boasting himself for 40 days and 40 nights. And the people staggered back in fear. So he was boasting against the armies of the living God. So one day, he made the same boasting before the wrong man. And David came to the battle front. When he had his boasting, he said, what? How can you allow this uncircumcised Philistine to defy the armies of the living God? I will go and fight him. He said, what Saul could not do, though head and shoulders above the people. David came on the scene. And he told him, he said, look, no. I will go and fight this man. He said, look, you cannot fight him because you are just a small boy. He said, this fellow, he has been a warrior right from his youth. David said, wait, the thing is this. I was herding my father's sheep. Ebiake took one. I went after it, I killed it. Baba said, God gave me courage. He raised up the power of that animal. He brought in the lion. Said, when the lion grabbed the lamb, said, I went after him, I smote him. Said, when he got after me, said, I grabbed him by the bear, and I smote him. Said, the God that delivered me from the paws of the bear and the lion will deliver me from the hand of this uncircumcised Philistine. Said, and this uncircumcised Philistine is going to be like one of them. Amen. And then Saul said, let me put my armor for you. And he put his armor, his sword, his helmet, everything. Just put it up for him. He took the vestment, he became bow legged. He could not move further. Said, take this away from me. I've never tried it. Let me go by the experience I had with God. Amen. What was it? When he came, Goliath said, am I a dog that you come to me with this small boy? Said, look, David said, you come to me with spear and with anything you have in your hand. He said, but I come unto you, I come against you in the name of the Lord God of Israel, whom you have defied. Today, this whole congregation is going to know that God does not fight with you or win a battle with spear and arrow and things like that. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then David went with what he had in his hand. Because of the experience he had with God before, God said, no, experience brings faith. He left and he just went to the brook, took the 5 stones, and went after. He did not stagger back, but he went after. God said, you have to go into action. He went after Goliath with faith in his heart. And then, in that field, when he took the, put one stone in the slingshot, he was moving and he was swinging it. He was moving and he was swinging it. When he released it, the Holy Ghost now directed the stone to the very spot, the only open place, which is the forehead of Goliath, and struck it. While he was demonstrating and things that he was already on the ground, they thought that their champion is just dramatizing and things like that, warming up. But he was already on the ground. When David said, come on! What are we talking about? What man cannot do with ordinary intellectual experience, God Almighty can do it. In some people that you don't least expect it. Baba said, God can do something special in a person that you least expect it to happen to. May God help us. That's exactly what happened here. So now, he went to Egypt. He brought the children of Israel. He brought them out. When he brought them out now, but Abba said, no amount of Red Sea can stand on their way. When they were going on the journey to the promised land, they were on the line of duty. Here was mountain on one side. Here was desert on the other side. There was the Red Sea. And Pharaoh was coming behind with his armies. And they cried in unbelief. But Abba said, and Moses prayed, march on. Amen. Say, but God has to send an east wind to part the Red Sea for them. Let me read something here. Praise the Lord. And the Bible says, he said, like we used to sing the song, he said, some through the water, and some through the blood, some through deep tire, but all through the blood. God needs his children. No matter what gets in his way, he will have to get out of the way. It will have to give way to God. So no matter what is happening in your life, as long as you are in the will of God, every trouble, every trial will give way to God. That's what the Bible is telling us here. May God help us, church. And when they cross over to the river, they had a Pentecostal jubilee, a camp meeting. Why? If it wasn't a Pentecostal meeting, I never see one. Moses sang in the spirit, and Miriam and the women beat tambourines and danced in the spirit. If that are in Pentecostal, I never seen one. Oh, hallelujah. And God promised to supply all their needs in the journey. He promised us he will supply all our needs in the journey. The same God by the same promise. Same God made the promise. Hallelujah. Their bread was finished. My oh my. They filled their bread. And they complained. And God rained down manna for them. And they tested it. They said it was sweet like honey. Angels food. When they lack water, God said, go and stand by that rock. Smite the rock. I mean, speak to the rock. Sorry, smite the rock. And shall bring forth his water. And he got to the rock, he smote it, and water gushed out. And they drank. What was it? God promised to supply their needs. So God was mindful of them on their way to the promised land. Amen. And then, the Bible made us to know that a time came now, they came to Kadesh Barnea. Hallelujah. They came to Kadesh Barnea, and when they came to Kadesh Barnea, that is the judgment seat. From the scripture we read in verse 1, God told Moses, she sent out 12 men, one man from each tribe, to go and spy the land that I have already given them. And they went to the promised land. They saw Ikoro, though they saw the giants there, the sons of Anakim, the one that dwelt on the mountain, the one that dwelt in the valley, how their war was walled up to heaven. They saw this one. Not only that, but it was the time of the pomegranate. And they caught a cluster. And it took two people to pack it. To bring it to Moses and the people, anyone that wants to taste out of it, taste out of it. But the thing is this, God not telling that their war will not be walled up to heaven. Or that there will not be giants or sons of anarchy there. Or one will dwell on the mountain and one will dwell in the valley. The thing is, I'm taking you to that land. So if God says so, that settles it. Now why did the remaining 10 were looking at the circumstances? They came back, they said, truly Moses, we've spied the land. It was fully flowing with wheat and honey, according to what God told you in chapter 3, verse 8. It's truly a large land. But the thing is this, the land swallow up its people. The thing is this, so let us not try to attempt it. It will be a suicide on any of us that attempt it. Because why? The land swallowed up its people. Joshua and Caleb, they were not looking at circumstances. Joshua and Caleb, they were looking at the promise of God. Because these were the real true seed of Abraham. That's why the prophet made us to know. Out of 2 million that came out, only two reached the land. 1 million. Joshua and Caleb, the real pedigree seed of Abraham. That's why Caleb could see the people here and say, keep quiet before Moses. We are well able to take the land. But the Bible said, today we are well able to have healings in Pentecostal realm. Even in Methodist, he said, we can have it. He said, whether in Baptist, we can have divine healing. He said, whether Presbyterian, we can have divine healing. Because it is what God promised. So Jesus is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So church, he said, an exodus is going on now. Don't worry. He said, God promised to supply all our need. Whatever is our need for this journey, he promised to supply for you and me today. As he did for them then, they did not lack anything. Hallelujah. He gave them bread. He gave them water. Now we have, he said, the bread that they ate there was physical for the journey. He said, we have the spiritual bread today for our spiritual welfare for the journey. Are you there with me, my brother, my sister? That is the word of living God. May God help us. Let me give this short testimony. But Abraham said that, you know, he was talking with two brethren. And they were just talking about an apostle that came in. He said, this apostle was beaten, whether by a wild animal or was hit in the car. Said, but the shoulder was already broken and it was already decaying. And so much that, you know, my God was already coming out. You know, green flag was already, you know, chopping the something. Said, but while they were talking, I said, this apostle just came back. He said, from the houses, he said, there are houses that didn't have fences. Why didn't our apostle enter into any of the compound? He said, but the apostle came and passed, and entered, whether, he said, my own house has a fence.
And he entered the compound of the prophet, was laying there. God brought that opossum there. We are close. What God can do to an animal? If God can do that to an animal, God can do it for you and me too. May God help us, church. Say, when they were talking, they were giving a testimony about a black woman, a young girl, that born the baby. He said, this child was an illegitimate child. She doesn't know who is the father. And then he said, she wrapped it in a sack. And then tied it and smothered it and called a taxi driver to take her to the river side. They just dropped something into the river. I said, and the police caught up with him. Baba said, that is a wicked woman. May God help us. But he said, but look at this apostle. With the condition that she is and that she had a womb. He said, it is only apostle or kangaroo that had the nature of packing their kids, their babies in a sack. Say she was sent to make sure that look, these babies are alive. And these little cubs, they were trying to breastfeed from the mother with that condition. And then say, Sister Wu, say, oh, you are a hunter, why not kill it? And don't let this little apostle suffer. Mama said, I'm a hunter, not a killer. The husband took the brother who took him, said, why not kill you? You have the experience now, so that this little cubs will not suffer. Say, but you know, I cannot do it. Say, Mama said, the thing was on my mind all through the night, in a nutshell. Said, the wife said, what are you going to do with it? Say, I don't know. Say, but finally, listen to this here. 44, please. 44. Just down. Please, be fast. 44. And I went out and punched her and looked like she didn't move. And I tried a little bit and I saw she was still alive though. 44 now. Read on 44. But oh my, that big old leg is all swollen up and maggots and flies all over it. And I said, poor old thing. I went back into the side room, to my den room, and I just sat down. There, we had the sick comes to be prayed for, and I was just rubbing my head like this, and I thought, well, what am I going to do with that opossum? I got to do something. That's a shame. And something now, I don't know how you are going to believe this. That is up to you and God. I had something say, well, she has waited at your door for 24 hours like a lady. You preached about her yesterday and took a text and said that she was a real mother. She wanted to raise her baby and have had her lay at your door for 24 hours. You have never said anything about it. Well, I said, I didn't know. What do you mean? Said, she came to be prayed for. She's waiting for her turn. I said, well, I didn't know. Though, what is the matter with me? Am I talking to myself? Why? I thought, what is that? And I recognized the presence of the Holy Spirit. I opened the door and I went out there and I stood by her. I said, Father, the king was looking down at her. I said, Heavenly Father, have I been so stupid to know that you, with your divine grace, I said, now, wait a minute. Yes, you know the best of the air. You know all things. You know, and why? I said, then, this old apostle know more about divine healing than a lot of preachers do. And I said, here she is. And now she hadn't got no soul. So it encouraged me. You told me to pray for the sick. And I've seen many times sick people be led. But if you thought enough of the respect of that old apostle for her to raise her babies, and you pull and you had the Holy Spirit to bring her because she didn't have any soul. She's a dumb brute. And she come and lay there as a mother dying, waiting for her turn to be prayed for. I said, God, forgive me for being so stupid.
Now, Heavenly Father, I pray, if that be the case, that you hear the old apostles. I ask it in Jesus' name. If you send the old thing from the road or wherever she was chewed and then her laying there and she wants to raise her baby and you sent her here to be prayed for and led her in here. Why? I said, I'm sorry, I didn't understand it. So I pray that she will be healed in Jesus' name. And now, no more than I said that, the old apostle turned over and looked at me, got up, picked up her little babies, and put them right back in her bosom, like this, and then look up to me, seemed to say, I thank you, kind sir. Stuck her tail up in the air and right down the road and then over to the wood. Oh my! She went just as hard as she could. That's right. Newspapers have spiked them articles. Our local papers spiked it. The magazines have spiked it. People sent from Germany and saying, Brother Abraham, pray for me, like you did that apostle. Look, if God can lead a dumb brute, how much more can he lead you here? Certainly, we ought to know as much about God as a dumb brute, being smart, Holy Spirit filled, born again, God walking in his nature, performing signs. Why? You take in the, oh my, blessed be the name of the Lord. That 46, down. That old apostle didn't even have a limb in that leg. She was not doing like this. She was perfectly made whole. Glory to God. She just walked out of there just as good as anything. Perfectly normal and well. Oh man, when you think of the love of God and the sovereignty of God, how that God does all things and leads us. Now he's here this evening, tonight. He's here to show his blessings. He's here to show his power. He loves to show his power. He puts his children in corners so that he can show his power and love. How different from that and the trend of the day. Say, God gives you sickness to make you lay with patience. If that is so, then Christ defeated in some purpose. When he healed the sick. You got the prophet? He said, some people are saying that God put sickness upon you to give you patience. Romans said, if that be so, then Christ defeated in some purpose. When he healed the sick, see, he didn't do it. God takes the sickness out of you. Sometimes he might permit sickness to come to heal you, to show his love to you. That is right. He might have to do that. You get out of his will. Maybe you do something wrong. Maybe I do something wrong. Then you put sickness. He wants to show his love. Not that God does put sickness upon people to make us to be patient. Nobody says it is wrong. He said that is not the will of God. If not, then Jesus be this for many people. He still is today. You believe it? Exodus is going on today. May God bless us, church.
I'm sorry for my crooked deal with this afternoon. Just there with, I was just only conscious of that time. Because you cannot say, want to come back to eat again. God bless you. As it is, and next order. God raised up Moses there to bring them out. Is that right? God has raised up a vindicated prophet today. In this called Exodus. To bring us out of the bondage of denominationalism, from human organization, from intellectual belief. That is what God has done for us in this our age. To God be the glory. Let us pray. Is this still the same God today? My brother, my sister, is still the same God today? Is he saves? Is he delivers? Is he perform miracles? Is he perform signs and wonders in the lives of his children? He has never failed and will never fail. Let's commit ourselves unto God. I'm very sorry for taking a little of your time. But remember that an Exodus is going on today. This is the third Exodus. And God wants us to take it as it was. No matter what obstacles on our way today, no matter trials, testings we are passing through today, God will see to it that none of us perish in this way. He will see us through to the promised land. He saw Caleb and Joshua through. So that those who refuse to believe him, they perish in the wilderness. Their carcass was eaten and rotting in the wilderness. God help you. God help me. Over to the associate pastor.
Service to a close. Are you part of the Exodus that is going on as Moses was sent to take the children of Israel out of Egypt to the promised land? So the Holy Spirit, through the message of the hour, is taking his own children out of creeds and dogma, out of worldliness, out of everything, making them ready for the land that Jehovah himself has promised. And very soon the day will break. If this message that we are listening to, if it's working on you, if your soul is agreeing with it, then it means that you are part of this program. And if that be the case, all that we have need of is to yield ourselves to God's leadership as he leads his children along until we arrive. We should never argue with it. Our guide should follow it just as the Spirit leads us. Is there anyone that would like to remember the prayers to bring the service to close? You can just signify us to raise your hand as we commit ourselves to him. Our gracious eternal Father, we thank you very much for the privilege again to sit and to listen to your word re-echoed unto us again this afternoon's of evening. Dear Lord, we thank you for every statement of the prophet that were repeated in our ears. Lord, we thank you because we like the message. The message agrees with us, agrees with our life. We are not arguing with it, and we are not struggling with it. And Lord, we are contented even with the leader. We are contented with the messenger. We are contented with the message itself. And Lord, we are satisfied as your word comes to us day by day. We want to yield ourselves better unto you in full surrender. We pray, dear Almighty God, that you lead us, Lord, in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. We pray, O God of heaven, that everything that is contrary to you in our life, we want your spirit to cut it off. Lord, so that when we see you according to your word, we will be exactly like you. Grant it our desire. As you commit every request that are represented by the hands that are lifted up into your hand, thou Almighty God, who knoweth the heart of all men, may you look into the desires and the needs of your people and grant unto each and every one of us. Lord Jesus, we ask, Lord, that may the faith of this message not just be limited to this building, but may it follow us, O God. May the words be our meditation, O God, and may we yield ourselves unto you day by day as you lead us on this journey. Thank you, dear Father. We want to ask that you bless your servant that you have made yourself to bring your blessings this evening. May you recall him and little the honor of his ministry in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Lord, we know, O God, that you have done something in the life of your children today. We have not come to your house in vain. Lord, we are going far better than we came in the morning. And the blessings that we have received today, may they be permanent in our life. May your spirit water them, dear Father. Lord, this new week that we just started, we leave ourselves to your hand for your guidance. Lord, for your mercies, for your favor. We pray, O God, that you order our footsteps. Lead us away from trouble. Lord, send trouble far away from us. Keep us strong and healthy, dear Father. And we pray for healing for every sick and their afflicted. Meet our needs, dear Father, both spiritually and physically. May your protection be upon students. May you be with workers. Be with business people. Watch over travelers, dear Father. Lord, whatever is before each and every one of us, may your grace see us through. Thank you, eternal Father. As we leave to go back to our homes, we pray, O living God, that you take us back home safely. Our brother in the hospital, perfect his health to the glory of your name, and Lord, that of your servant and pastor, and as many as are sick also. Thank you, Savior Divine. Blessed be your wonderful name. Once again, our sister who has been with us to study our masters, while we thank you for giving us success, we pray, O God of heaven, that you be with her, Lord, in her next stage in life, O God. May you guide her and order her footsteps. Lord, help us to be able to get a very good job with it, O Father, to the glory of your name. Thank you, eternal Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray with faith and thanksgiving. Amen. God bless you. And God's grace, Wednesday will come again for the midweek service. And we trust that each of the services will draw us closer unto him. And for those traveling, may the peace of God go with everyone. And may the Lord bless each one of us richly. Shall we rise up on our feet as we sing from our hymn book 2:1 as we bid our sister Godspeed. God be with you till we meet again.
As an apple of the night, oh, keep me, Jesus, as an apple of the night.